2, The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And it's the passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. Welcome in. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Mike Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. Dr. Deb Lonser is a pediatrician. She's also an expert on the show. She will be back soon. I'm Joe Galewski. Thanks for listening today, and welcome into the show today to join on the air with Dr. Mike. It's 877-711-5211 to udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Dr. Mike, are you ready?
I am ready, and as usual, this week there are a number of wonderful studies. 8 ways wine keeps you healthy. More than half U.S. smokers have tried to quit. We have a way to help them. The best one is, what I think the best one is, looking old is a sign that you are old, at least your heart. That is, wrinkles on your skin mean wrinkles in your heart, and that means you're more likely to have a heart attack and stroke. What you can do about it. And Gary Ginsberg has a great story this week that I really love. If you will, what can you do to keep safe in your hotel? A Canadian study, many rooms, hotel rooms, are contaminated. So we'll hear about that too. And Arthur Perry has a wonderful story that I love. That is, and this one, Joe, I don't think you need, but many of us do. That is, there's a new drug that may regrow hair on the top of your head, even if you've been bald for a long time. And it's the same one that you do for eyelashes. So he said he's got a stock pick for you, since Allergan makes this tremendous thing for your eyelashes that'll help regrow your eyelashes if they've been singed off or disappeared. Well, this is even true for the bald.
What about a real age tip for this hour? What are you working on?
Oops. The real age tip of the hour is, want strong bones? These calcium sources can help.
All right, coming up at 34 past the hour, that's typically the guest segment in the first hour, and our guest will be Priscilla Dunstan. Her book is called Calm the Crying, The Secret Baby Language That Reveals the Hidden Meaning Behind an Infant's Cry. If you ever wonder why a baby cries, when a baby cries, why a baby cries, then we'll find out. Coming up at 34 past the hour.
You know, my wife was always better able to tell why our kids were crying when they were infants, obviously, than I was. So maybe there's something here with the Dunstan language. And I'm going to have Bridget ask her a bunch of questions, since Bridget babysits and must have secrets to learning what the cries are all about.
I have no secrets, but I'm interested in learning, because it can get so overwhelming being with a screaming child all day.
Have you ever babysat a colicky baby?
No, I haven't, fortunately.
It is not fun. I gave the book to my daughter and her husband in North Carolina, because they've got 3 kids now, 4, 2, and a baby boy. That's about 3 months old. All 3 of them had colic. All 3.
Wow.
And I'm not really sure why that is. I seem to think, my uneducated medical guess is, it's what my daughter eats. But and she doesn't eat unhealthy food. I don't know, but I don't think they get the things that they need to get. They eat very healthy. She doesn't eat meat. She's a vegetarian. But
so you think she's not getting enough of the...
I got to hold my tongue. You know what I mean? Dad's got to hold his tongue. But she eats healthy food.
Listening.
No, she doesn't eat junk. They don't eat junk. And the kids don't eat any junk. And she doesn't eat meat. Hasn't eaten meat for the longest time, for years and years. But something to me says there's something missing. But I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor nor a nutritionist, so...
You're not?
No, but I play one here. But I learn as much from the guests as everybody else does listening to the show. So that's coming up at 34 past the hour. President Obama reelected, so that means Obamacare will stay in place, Dr. Mike.
Yeah, that's right. And what that does, more than anything, you know, when you look at what does the health care law change, Well, more than anything, I mean, it allows greater access. It allows coverage for drugs to a greater degree. But probably more than anything, it changes the way we buy insurance. So when 2014 comes around, each of us will have a myriad of choices of insurance, and it'll be make it much more interesting, much more difficult for most of us who are amateurs to choose the right insurance, and we'll have to figure out a new process for selecting insurance. You'll probably see things like the insurance, like the Geico and the Progressive insurance ads all of a sudden as companies will try and get you to choose their insurance or to refer you to their favorite insurance agent. So it'll be very different even from that, and I think that'll be a major change we see in 2014.
How does it guarantee better access? I don't know that. How do you know?
Well, it guarantees that? Better access because everyone is guaranteed to be covered. That is, you can pay a fee and be absolutely guaranteed you will have insurance to cover all the diseases that you possibly could. No one is excluded because of pre-existing condition. No one is excluded because they can't afford it.
Okay. That means more people are able to benefit from going to see a doctor. Do you see any downside to Obamacare?
Well, there's a lot of downside in that the regulations and the enforcement process of it will require more people. It will also, if you will, another downside if you, will be the taxes and the cost of it, which obviously will be greater for all of us who were covered in the past. Now we'll have extra taxes and extra costs.
Doctor shortage?
Maybe. In other words, the question is, who will take care of all the extra people when we don't even have enough doctors to care for the ones we have? And the answer is there may be a doctor shortage, but there will be a doctor shortage in any case, and the efficiencies one gets in the system as one looks at what they're going to be doing may overcome that shortage.
We may be seeing more physician assistants more than
and
doctors.
And physician extenders, that's
and,
right.
And nurses.
What's a physician extender?
Well, in other words, someone who will take those parts of your history, a medical assistant or someone who can take those parts of your history without a doctor being involved in it, be able to do a review of systems, be able to ask you about allergies, ask you your birth date, all those things to populate the health record that were required, that are still being required, but that we will be able to do much more efficiently with people who aren't as expensive.
I also was reading about patient-centered medical homes. Do you know anything about that, or like what your opinion is?
Yeah, sure. So everyone thinks this will be one of the solutions, will be that you will be at a home and be able to report in to your physician, your nurse, your extenders on your current condition, and will help stop readmission to the hospitals and help keep you healthier in your home setting for longer. And so those are really being tried. Where the problem has been so far with those is that the increased cost of doing it exactly is offsetting the increased savings by your not being in the hospital. That is, and so people are trying to find more efficient ways of doing medical homes.
What would you give it out of a scale of 1 to 10? If 1 was bad, 10 was the best thing that ever came around, Obamacare, what would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, without it being fixed, it's about a 5.5. So, meaning it's more favorable than not because of access, because of the absence of pre-existing conditions. There are a lot of provisions in there that allow you to do preventive care to a greater degree. They just aren't in the bill yet, meaning it's got to be fixed. There are a lot of things that need fixing in the current bill.
All right, we'll come back with more of the top medical news stories of the week and your emails, of course, at udocs@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen. Stay with us, and thanks a lot for listening.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Downsized, outsourced, pink slipped? Afraid of losing your home? Forbes magazine named our company one of the top 10 business ideas of 2012, where ordinary people are creating extraordinary incomes.
Hi, I am Elena from Miami. I was a traditional business owner with all the headaches that come with that. But I replaced that multiple franchise income working from home full-time, and I spent all the time I want with my son.
Get out of the rat race. Work from home and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hi, David from Boston. I was in the real estate industry for 12 years when the bottom completely fell out of that business. I really had my back against the wall with five young kids depending on me. I've now been in this business for less than a full year, and I'm actually better off today, income-wise, than I was in my best year ever in real estate.
Go to OneOccupyWealth.com now and change your life today. That's the number OneOccupyWealth.com. OneOccupyWealth.com. Start earning great money as soon as next week.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
All right, Dr. Deb will be back soon. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. At 34 past the hour, we'll talk with one of the world's foremost parenting experts. She talks about an interesting revolutionary way to translate a crying baby's messages. It's all babies cry, and apparently all babies' cries mean something. So hang around for that 34 past the hour.
You mean you didn't know that, Joe, when you were taking care of your kids?
My kids never cried. No. We only had one colicky baby, though. My middle daughter was colicky, but That was the only one. But as I said, my daughter has three in a row. So better them than me at this point in my life anyway. So we'll get into that at 34 past the hour. Udocs@gmail.com, Youdocs@gmail.com for your email questions and Dr. Mike's email answers. Looking old may be the sign of heart problems, Dr. Mike. What's going on with that study?
Right. This is actually a good one. If you look at someone and they have a receding hairline, they have old age spots, they have crow's feet, they have creased earlobes, you can bet that, in fact, their heart has wrinkles in it, too. So signs, external signs of arterial aging, so I always say wrinkles, clearly earlobe wrinkles and crow's feet are signs of aging of your arteries. Those related in this study of 11,000 Danish individuals, people who had those had a 3 to 7-fold increase, depending on how many they had. The more signs of that they had, the higher their risk of having a heart disease or heart attack.
The receding hairline thing interests me. A receding hairline really might be a sign of a heart problem?
That's what they said. So the good news for you is, as you exercise more and get fit, you decrease the risk of the wrinkles, the old age spots, and the crow's feet.
Part of that study, too, involved gray hair. I learned more a little bit about that. They said gray hair.
Gray hair didn't have an effect.
Okay.
That's just, although Obama looks much older because he's got gray hair.
Yeah, he does.
And, in fact, when we looked at all the presidents, the presidents had aged 2 years for every year they're in office. You can get it back, obviously, as Clinton has after his second heart attack. He came and learned the Esselstyn diet, which Dr. Esselstyn is here. You don't eat anything with a face or a mother, and he's gotten both thinner and healthier. And my guess is he's pulled an awful lot of plaque out of his coronary arteries. We're not privy to that because that would be a breach in medical, if you will, statements, and while he's no longer in office, doesn't have to reveal them. But in fact, my guess is he's pulled a lot of plaque out of his coronary arteries, and so he is much younger internal as well as his external looks.
They also have access to the best medical care in the universe, too.
Well, you do too, Joe.
I do. I got to tell you something. My wife is going to be retiring after this school year, and we're on her teacher's insurance. So now we talked about in the first break or the first segment, we kind of shopping around for the radio station insurance that I work at, the private insurance. It's eye opening. It really is in terms of the coverage and what I'm going to have to pay for in terms
right.
of paying for the coverage.
Right, and it will. So one of the benefits teachers do get is they've negotiated some very good insurance policies and plans for themselves. Their group, a big group, obviously.
Yeah.
One of the things that we will learn in 2014, so wait a year from now, not in June when you do this, but in January of 2014, the new law takes effect. There'll be these new insurance exchanges. I saw the draft of a couple of them yesterday, and one of them was absolutely miserable. You could have gotten a policy unrelated to your health, et cetera, for any place from $200 a month to $4,000. I mean, it was ungodly, depending on what you covered, but it looked like also depending on the profits the insurance company wanted. But on the other hand, the options, I saw another site that is going to be essentially a site like Progressive or e-insurance or Geico that was very friendly. The first question was, do you have kids at home? Second one, are you planning on getting pregnant, et cetera? And those questions, because they can then direct you to the right type of insurance, and if you participate in a wellness program, can get you a rebate and a lower cost for your care. So really very good, very big variety of what will happen. But I was actually encouraged by the second site that we're going to make it some, it's not going to just be impossibly complex. The way I think the Medicare is. Medicare, I went on their site, And the options are about 37 in the state of Ohio, and just impossible to decipher what is what.
The deductibles on these programs that we're going to have to go on after my wife leaves her job are, they hurt. The deductibles now, it's the prescription. No big deal. Office visits. We don't pay for anything. Don't pay for anything. Well, that's a sore subject. Let's not go there. She's been a teacher now for quite a long time.
I think what grade does she teach?
Sixth grade.
So that's a good age.
Tell her it's a piece of cake. She should stay working.
You talk to her because it's very touchy.
Do you think we can get her the podcast? Anyone can get the podcast,
yeah,
by the way,
exactly.
At RadioMD.com.
Yeah. And we stream, too, at GabRadio.com. How does red wine keep you healthy? 8 ways red wine can keep you healthy. We'll do this to the bottom of the hour, breaking our guest.
I love this one.
Well, you want to take this one?
Sure, I'll take it. So they found that there's 8 huge benefits in drinking red wine, which obviously it's in moderation that they found these benefits, which is...
So we should say what moderation is 1 to 2 drinks a night for men, 1 drink a night for women. A drink is 4 ounces. It's not a 8-ounce cup. And 7 on Saturday night is not 1 every night.
Too bad it's not, but it really isn't. So they found that drinking red wine, that the polyphenols have helped protect people's hearts, that they actually have made blood vessels healthier, which reduces your risk of blood clots. They also found that the resveratrol in the skin. Helps to control blood sugar.
Yeah, the problem is the amount of resveratrol you need in red to get the benefit in red wine is 180 bottles a night.
Oh.
Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
So maybe no one will be experiencing that.
That would be a little too much. I even agree.
Yeah, you'd probably be dead.
Yeah.
They also found that the resveratrol boosted memory and cognitive function because they think that it interferes with the formation of a protein that is found in Alzheimer's patients. And there's also a lot of other benefits like fighting off colds, which is really important for this time of year. They found that those who drank over 14 glasses weekly for one whole year were 40% less likely to get the common colds.
Or at least acknowledge they had gotten it.
Right.
They didn't realize they were sick when they were just drinking that much.
That's a possibility. And they thought that that was probably because of the antioxidant boost that they got from the red wine. Resveratrol also has been found to stop cancer cell development. And it helps you stay slim because the resveratrol is converted to, how do you say the other one?
I cannot pronounce that one
either. Picatinol. P-I-C-E-A-T.
Right.
No idea. Okay. So that helps prevent the growth of fat cells. So they found that people who drink red wine in general were slimmer.
Okay.
And it also adds some fun to your dinner.
All right. We're going to be back with our guest coming up, All Babies Cry. Do you know why they cry and what they try to say when they cry? But you're going to find out coming up with our guest segment next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with
and
Dr. Mike
Reiser. Happy Veterans Day to everyone.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated.
Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Influenza is serious. So are we. get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
And now, back to Dr. Michael Roizen, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Back to Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week, Hour 1, coming up before the end of the first hour. There are two, because it's a two-hour show. What if you could speak baby? What if every sound your kid made could be translated into hungry or overstimulated or maybe lonely? Priscilla Dunstan is the creator of the Dunstan Baby Language and the Dunstan Classification of Infant Cries, and she spent a heck of a lot of time deciphering and researching and charting baby sounds. And she is the author of Calm the Crying, the Secret Baby Language that reveals the hidden meaning behind an infant's cry. You pick it up, paperback from Avery. It's also an e-book. Welcome to the program here today, Priscilla. My grandkids all have colic, 4, 2, and a 2-month-old. They all have colic. What is a baby saying when they're colicky? What are they saying to the parents?
Well, colic is an interesting thing in that there's what we call medical colic, which is, you know, needs to be seen by your pediatrician, and handling colic, which is parents still need to learn how to manage their child's crying and day to day life things to improve the colic. Colic is generally classed as excessive crying. So there is a word within the classification system that is that children who have colic say. It doesn't mean that if your baby says this word, they have colic, but it does that colicky babies do say this word, and that word is air, and that means that your baby has lower gas, and there are certain methods within the book that tell you how to remove the gas so that the baby is more comfortable and stops crying.
Okay, so they also say it's colic is more difficult on the parents than it is the baby, because the parents get all nervous and they look forward to that time every night at that time for weeks on end where the baby's going to start to cry and cry hard for a couple of hours. And they always say on the parent it's much more difficult than the baby. Is that true?
I think so. But the great thing about what the research has shown in terms of understanding the cries and responding to your baby's cries and their needs at the appropriate time is that the colic that you were talking about that happens, you know, say in the afternoons or at the same time every day, that is often very easily relieved just simply by burping them at the right time, feeding them at the right time, and getting their body pattern into the right order. So the understanding the cries really does help with that. Medical colic tends to happen throughout the day all the time. So right. That's one way of knowing the difference.
Here's Dr. Mike. Hey, Dr. Mike.
Priscilla, the website is calmthecrying.com, and that has some sounds. Do you think dads can learn this? In other words, I was always impressed that when I talked to other dads or my own experience, when we went through it, we had no idea what the baby was trying to tell us. Whereas it seemed that my wife, now she's a pediatrician, so that may give her an advantage, but a lot of others, it seemed like the women understood this much more than the men, even if the men spent as much time with the baby as the woman, as the wife.
Well, the great thing about this is it is like an instruction manual. So you it's very mathematical. You hear the sound, you pick out that sound within your baby's cry, and that tells you exactly what your baby needs. So it's very easy for dads to learn this. In fact, you know, dads are huge fans. On my website, when I get mail, I get more mail from dads than from mums.
Oh, that's cute.
So it's fabulous for dads, and even involving younger children into you know, the family, because it's so easy to hear, it's so easy to pick up, and it just means that it, you know, a little 2-year-old can run up and say, "Mummy, you know, baby's saying neh," which is the word for hunger. And they can feel more important and feel that they're, you know, that they're helping. So it's very easy.
Now, why is this, I suppose, universal, and how does this language get there? And I know you deal with this in the book, but go ahead and talk to us.
No, I'm glad you asked, because I think it's very important for the listeners to understand how it works. It's based on reflexes. So as you know, when a baby's born, there are reflexes that the doctor checks to make sure they're healthy. And these reflexes are checked out all over the world. So it doesn't matter whether you're born in Sweden, the doctor there is going to be checking the same reflexes as if you were born in America. And these same reflexes, when they are added to an infant's cry, give us a certain sound signature. And these sound signatures are, again, based on the reflexes, and the reflexes are based on the baby's body needs. So, for example, the baby gets hungry, it starts to suck. Sucking is a reflex. It then starts to cry, which is another reflex, and then you hear the word neh within the baby's cry, and that tells you that the baby's hungry. So it's all very, you know, universal. It's a physical language. It's not the baby consciously deciding it's going to tell mum and dad that it's hungry. It's purely based on reflexes and what the body is doing.
And now, can this, I guess what I'm asking is, what happens when they turn 4 months old? Do they learn different language, or do the reflexes not occur, or how long does this go on?
I loved how you asked the 4 months, because as you know, the sucking reflex, you know, turns off at around 4 months. What happens, in the book, we do it in stages. Some primitive reflexes turn off, some of them turn on, and some of them stay the whole way. And so this book deals with what sounds or what words, for ease of explanation, are going to be heard within the baby's cry as it goes all the way up to 9 months.
So all the way up to 9 months. I'm going to turn a little bit over to Bridget for a while, because she is a babysitter and has the problem of 4-month-olds all the time, right?
Well, a specific 4-month-old, actually. It's one family that I babysit for, and they have 3 older kids, and they just had their 4th child, and she's 4 months old. And I've never babysat for babies before, so it's such a hard thing to get used to, and it can be so frustrating when I'm alone with her all day and she's like screaming so much, and I'm like, what do you want from me? Do you find that a lot of parents come to you with those concerns?
Yes, that's, you know, when you have a crying baby, as you just said, you know, it's really frustrating, and it's really lowers your self-esteem as well, because you're trying to help them. And when you can't get it right and they keep crying and you're doing this trial and error type of thing, it makes you feel really bad and everyone ends up crying. So the great thing about the language is it does take out the trial and error. It doesn't take long to learn. You just listen, you know, you just read about which word it is, listen to how you make the sounds, and then, you know, you'll be able to pick it up straight away. And that means that, you know, the baby is going to keep crying until its need is met. But when you know what needs to be met and you can meet it, it's going to be a lot easier.
Right, that makes sense. And in the book, you talk about how a lot of people, when a baby's crying, that they just automatically start feeding them. And I'm totally guilty of that. I feel like I probably overfeed her so much because I always turn to feeding. And I thought that it was really interesting that in the book you talk about burping before you feed the baby to prevent having to feed every 2 hours.
Often what happens is the baby, you know, needs to be burped, not fed. And just like us, you know, you'll find when you walk throughout the day, you'll feel an air bubble come up, you know, a small burp or something like that. Because it's, you know, our bodies are digesting and there's gases being made. Well, the baby's body is the same, but it can't move to, it can't sit itself up to get rid of the gas. And I think we sometimes forget that we, you know, that if we don't burp them, that they're not going to be burped. And we forget that there are other needs aside from feeding. But you won't know that unless you know what word they're actually saying and what they're asking for.
We'll be back. We'll take a break. Okay, you want to take a mic? You can take a mic.
No, I was going to
take
it. You do it, please.
Okay, my role as the host is to throw it to the break, and then we'll be back and speak more with Priscilla Dunstan. Priscilla Dunstan is the author of Calm the Crying. It's the secret baby language that reveals the hidden meaning behind an infant's cry, and it's published by Avery Books, udocs@gmail.com. udocs@gmail.com. If you have a question for Dr. Mike or our guest about a baby's cry or anything else along the way. So stay with us on the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen.
Fresh Healthy Vending, the most successful healthy vending machine business in the nation, is now seeking franchise partners. For the first time in your community, Fresh Healthy Vending is looking to launch its highly successful, profitable, and innovative vending concept. Here's how it works. Own your own route of bright, colorful, high-tech, healthy vending machines that offer a range of natural, organic, and healthy snacks and drinks. Yogurts, fresh fruit, juices, smoothies, fruit cups, iced tea, and more. Over 500 healthy products to choose from. These machines will be placed for you by Fresh's professional team of location specialists. Your machines will be making money in schools, businesses, retailers, hospitals, and other profitable locations throughout your community. Securing the most profitable locations for our franchise partners is Fresh Healthy Vending's number one goal. Own your own money-making vending business opportunity. Minimum investment, $80,000. Go to FreshVending.com for the full story. That's FreshVending.com. FreshVending.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most.
Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child, and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Joe Galewski and Dr. Deb Lonser, and starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Priscilla Dunstan is one of the world's foremost parenting experts. She talks about a revolutionary way to translate a crying baby's messages and to understand what your baby might be saying. The book is called Calm the Crying: The Secret Baby Language That Reveals the Hidden Meaning Behind an Infant's Cry. It's published by Avery Books, and here's Dr. Mike.
Now, Priscilla, we have an email thing, and somehow we get some physicians who tune into the show, which is a good thing. And one of the physicians, who's not a pediatrician, says, my understanding is that premature babies don't have all the reflexes that Priscilla Dunstan was talking about when they're born. Does this mean they don't have all the same sounds, and do they gain them as they get older?
That's a great question, and I did a research study in a few countries where we were looking at premature babies, and one of the problems with premature babies is getting them home. You know, they're stuck in hospital for so long that it's very hard to bond with them, and that affects them a lot. But we found that when they do start to suck, if the nurses feed them as when they're saying the nest sound, when they get to that stage, that it actually enhances and increases their sucking reflex. And we've found in our studies that they're actually going home 2 weeks earlier than they were previously, just simply by responding to that one word. And to answer the other question, by the time, you know, they're at that stage and they're going home, then, you know, the reflexes are coming in. But they do come in at a, you know,
at the regular time, as if they were, in other words, if you count the time of prematurity plus their time alive, then it's the same time.
Yeah, it's like a lot of those developmental things. It works in a similar type of way. But the great thing about languages, too, is that in those cases, if you're finding that you're not hearing a word, you know, you can, it gives you something to look for.
And Priscilla, you recommend in the book a flexible baby-centered feeding schedule. And I was just, as I was reading it, I was wondering, I feel like a lot of parents would be so wanting to put their child or their baby on a very structured schedule instead of considering that it actually needs to be centered around the baby. Do you find that?
I think that anybody, to change any routine or to change anything about with anyone, even an adult, if they're happy, well-rested and fed, it's much easier to get them to move. You know, it's easier to get a well-rested baby who's, you know, very content to wait a little bit for the next feed than it is to get somebody who's very stressed or a baby that's, you know, very sensitive to change. So my approach is that you calm everything down first. So you get everything working smoothly and then you slowly move it into the routine or the schedule that your family requires. So it's a more gentler way of approaching, you know, feeding and burping, all those sorts of things, that's just less stressful for everybody. Because those early weeks should really be about learning about each other and bonding and getting to know how each other works.
Right, that makes sense. I also found it really interesting. You talked about how babies that are breastfed, that sometimes they react to the foods that the mother is eating. And you mentioned tomato-based foods, and I was wondering if there's any others that you've come across that have affected the baby.
Oh, there's lots. You know, garlic is a well-known one. There's some of the curries, the Indian foods, can cause all sorts of colic, actually, you know, gas, that the lower gas issues. I mean, even for my son, for example, I couldn't have dairy products when I was breastfeeding him because he was so lactose intolerant that if I just drank milk in my tea, then he would there would be a reaction.
Wow.
So you drinking the milk gave him the lactose intolerance.
Yes.
In any case, we should we're going to go to a break now. We should mention that the key website is calmthecrying.com. There's an app to it. They're a wonderful set of things. And now we're going to do the Real Age Tip of the Week.
Now and, on you,
and this week's
manual.
Is Do this You Want
is
Strong
Real Age
Bones?
Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, MD.
This week is Do You Want Strong Bones? These calcium sources should help. Don't freak over recent scare headlines about a controversial calcium study. Frankly, even experts found it confusing. Truth is, most of us need more than we get from food to keep our bones and skeleton strong. If you're pretty average when it comes to calcium, you get less than 700 milligrams, that's MG a day. That's not enough. Here's what we do. Get calcium from these foods: dark leafy greens, almonds, canned salmon or sardines, calcium-reinforced OJ, cereals, or soy milk. Then add a 600-milligram supplement. Your goal is to get 1,200 milligrams of calcium a day, half from food, half from supplements. One reason this combo makes your bones stronger than just food or just supplements. Take your calcium with 1,000 international units of vitamin D3 before age 60, 1,200 milligrams or IUs of vitamin D3 after age 60. And postmenopausal women or premenopausal women should start now. When you lose 20% of your bone density in the first 5 to 7 years of menopause, it's important to stock up on calcium in your bones before you get there. And that's our Real Age Tip of the Week.
Dr. Mike's back with another Real Age Tip of the Week coming up in the second hour. Why? Because it's a two-hour show, so stay with us in the second hour. Here's some of the issues we'll be talking about in hour number two, some of the top medical stories of the week. Apparently too much sitting linked to fat buildup around the heart is going on, and exercise didn't seem to lessen that effect. This is according to a new study. So Dr. Mike will talk about that. People try to quit smoking all the time. Can you guess how many people here in this country have tried to quit smoking, some successfully and some not successfully as well? So that's something we'll be getting into. And also, low-carb, raw food, and other fads apparently do nutrition a disservice, which is a pretty interesting story that Dr. Mike will talk about coming up in the second hour. And if you see things and hear things, don't be too freaked out about that, because a lot of people do. So those are some of the stories coming up in the second hour. It's Straight Talk from the Docks with Dr. Arthur Perry. He'll be stopping by. We'll let you know what he's going to be talking about coming up as we start the second hour. Plus, it's Dr. Gary Gensberg, our toxicologist. It's What's Toxic and What's Not. Studies show a lot of hotel rooms are contaminated. What best to do to avoid being contaminated if you do a lot of traveling and spend a lot of time in hotels. And this is a Veterans Day weekend. Some soldiers have been awarded some damages for toxic duty in Iraq. So in honor of Veterans Day, it's a story Dr. Ginsberg will be talking about. Of course, your calls at 877-711-5211 and your emails at udocs@gmail.com. Hour number one is done. Hour number two coming up. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Don't go away.